Like John said, I'm Mary Thielen, and I'm here to talk to you today about evaluations of EPA-approved FRM PM 2.5 and PM10 samplers. And just to give you a little bit of background, there's been numerous articles talking about using FRM samplers to sample ambient particulate matter, and a lot of these articles deal with errors that are occurring when using these FRM samplers, and so that's what I'm going to focus on. A lot of these errors occur when sampling agricultural dusts because they have a larger mass median diameter, and so this affects the cotton industry both in ginning and harvesting operations. PM10, which is that fraction of particulate matter that has an aerodynamic equivalent diameter less than 10 microns, is measured using an FRM, or federal reference method, sampler that's approved by the EPA. And these samplers are characterized by a cut point and a slope. The cut point is also known as the D50, which is that fraction of material, or the diameter of the material where 50% is captured by the pre-separator and 50% penetrates to the filter. And the slope is what you can see on this graph, which, okay, if I can get the arrow to show up, I'll use this. Oh, here it is. You can see on this graph, it's just the sharpness of this curve right here. And what this graph is showing is a penetration curve for a PM10 sampler. And the blue line shows the design parameter with the D50 of, or the EPA design parameter, which is 10 microns plus or minus 0.5. And the slope design parameter for EPA FRM samplers is 1.5 plus or minus 0.1. And this graph is showing the blue line, the design parameter of a D50 or a cut point of 10 microns. And then the red dashed line is the upper boundary, which is the 10.5 microns. And then the green dotted line is the lower boundary, where 9.5 microns. So the objectives of this research were to determine the changes in the cut point and slope of FRM PM10 samplers using a wind tunnel and polydispersed dust at different concentrations and different wind speeds. And these results were to determine if and under what conditions FRM PM10 samplers perform as specified by the EPA. And these were going to be compared, the results from this will be compared to isokinetic samplers that were used as reference samplers. So just a brief description of the wind tunnel that was used. It was on campus at A&M, and it met all the EPA specifications that were listed in Title V. See if I can get this mouse to show up. Just a little description of the wind tunnel. The air comes in right here at point one, where there's a centrifugal fan, and it just follows around to right here at point four, where there's a dust feeder and the dust is fed in. And then it follows down around here to point seven, where the samplers are located, and then it's just exhausted right here through a point in the roof on the wind tunnel. And the dust that we chose to use, like I said, they were polydispersed dusts, and the reason why we chose to use those is because they're more representative of what you'll find when you're sampling ambient particulate matter. And just a little background on different sizes of dust. Urban particulate matter is generally characterized by a smaller mass median diameter, or MMD, and that's around 5.7 microns, whereas agricultural operations generally have MMDs ranging from 15 to 25. Microns. So you'll see that we chose three different dusts that were within all of these ranges. The first one, ultrafine ARD, which is Arizona road dust, and it had an MMD of 5.27 microns. And then fine ARD, again, Arizona road dust, that had a MMD of 12.05 microns. And then cornstarch was the largest dust we used, which is at 17 microns. It was right in that range of agricultural dust that's generally found. And then just a little picture of the two sampler inlets that we used for the PM10 samplers. The one on the left is a louvered PM10, which is what I'm going to call it from now on. It was manufactured by BGI. And then the one on the right is the flat PM10 inlet that was manufactured by Thermo Anderson. And so some of the results for the cut points, like I said before, we looked at the different dust types separated by the mass median diameter, and wind speeds, and the effects that different concentrations had on both the slope and the cut point. So right now we're going to look at the effect of the different types of dust on the cut point of the two different samplers. And you can see I separated it by the different types of dust, and right here are the average cut points are listed, and we compared them to the upper or lower limits, whichever ones were closer, for the EPA values, either 9.5 or 10.5 microns. And these areas that are shaded in gray are ones that were significantly different than the EPA standards of either 10.5 or 9.5. And then again, looking at the cut point results for both different types of samplers at different wind speeds, we actually found that the concentrations didn't really affect the cut points all that much. And again, for this one, the shaded areas show wind speeds of the cut points were significantly higher for both ones at 8 kilometers per hour than the EPA values. And here's just a graph showing for the flat PM10 inlet the effect of the dust mass median diameter and the wind speed on the cut point. And if I could get the mouse to show up, it's having a hard time. This is the smallest dust MMD that we used, which was the ultrafine ARD. And then over here is the 17.14 microns, which was the cornstarch. And you can see in this graph, the green section is where the cut point is within the EPA guidelines of 9.5 to 10.5 microns, and all the red area is outside of those areas. And you can, something that we weren't expecting was this dip in the middle of the graph. We were kind of expecting it to just go up, the cut points increasing as the dust MMD increased. So that's something that we're going to have to look at a little bit more. And you'll also see pretty much the same type graph with the green for the louvered PM10 inlet. For the cut points based on dust and wind speed. And then looking at the slope results for both the flat and louvered PM10, again, we looked at the dust type, wind speed, and dust concentration, and we found that only the wind speed had an effect on the slope for both types of samplers. And you can see that this all of these are shaded, and that means that all of these were significantly different, and in this case, significantly higher than the EPA maximum value for slope, which is 1.6. And then here's a graph showing the flat PM10 inlet slopes. And again, you can see just barely in the background right here, there's a little green stripe that's within the EPA guidelines of 1.4 to 1.6. But an interesting thing to note is that there weren't many data points taken at dust concentrations of 1,500 micrograms per cubic meter and the fastest wind speed of 24 kilometers per hour. So that may have an effect on this graph. And then if you look at the same graph for the louvered PM10 inlet, there were no green sections at all. So none of these data points fell within the EPA-approved range. So in conclusion, you can see from these results that these FRM samplers are not operating as specified for both the flat and louvered PM10 inlets. And the cut points and slopes are not consistently within the EPA specifications. You saw that the cut points were either significantly higher or significantly lower than the EPA specifications, or the range of EPA specifications of 9.5 to 10.5 microns. And then the slopes that we measured were all significantly higher than the EPA specifications of maximum of 1.6. So consequences of this, these samplers not behaving as they're supposed to, include increased fees for industries. And these industries include cotton ginning and harvesting operations, especially because they emit dust that has a larger mass median diameter. I'd like to thank or acknowledge the sponsors for this research, USDA, CSREES, and the Cotton Foundation. And I believe I have time left, so if anyone has any questions, thank you.
We have time for a few questions for Mary, if anyone has any.
Was it difficult to maintain suspension dust particles in the air throughout the course of the wind tunnel?
Let me see if I can go back. You can see a little bit on the graph or the schematic of the wind tunnel. There was actually another fan installed right here to help increase that, to keep the dust entrained in the air.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.